Well, there we go. Everybody's up. And there we go. Everybody's online. All the streams are ready to go. Check us out newly in Spotify. If you Google our title, the AI Guys, it's me, Rob Thrasher, founder of Secrets of the Search Engines in the New York Times in 1996. Now I'm back to harass you all again. So congratulations on that. And Gary Krager, I don't know if he's going to make it in. He's at a very important meeting right now, which coincidentally, certainly coincidentally, SLI, it has to do with the AI programs that we're currently working on. So, again, my name is Rob Thrasher. I have this little radio show on Blog Talk Radio. It also gets syndicated and rebroadcast through iTunes, Spotify, and about a dozen other of those ones they call aggregators. So we're all over the place, and we have had some briefings and some meetings, and this is the first show of many for the AI guys. That's AI. For those of you who are not aware, it stands for artificial intelligence. And I'm going to start off with kind of a commemoration or something that I located in Wikipedia. This is Wikipedia's words. You can go there to verify. And we're going to go all the way back to the 1960s, if you can believe it. You know, it wasn't that long after computers were even put into place to do things like running our military, gathering intelligence, et cetera. But it was with a very, very high level of interaction from the computer operators, people who run them, the computers and the systems, which through the advent of artificial intelligence has started to become less and less important. I'll tell you why that's really good for the most part. But of course, like everything, it's a tool. Tools can be used by good people or bad people. So let's focus on the good ones for now, which I consider myself one of the good guys. So back to way before I was born, at least 10 or 15 years before I was born, in the 1960s. So in 1966, the 60s were very important for a lot of reasons, and they sparked so many things, innovation and technologies, et cetera. But if we go back to the advent of what they call the father of AI back in 1966, and they call him the pioneer of AI, named John McCarthy, captured global attention by orchestrating a series of four concurrent computer chess matches against competitors in Russia. Now, it doesn't say they were chess champions, but they were competitors in Russia, so got to take that into account a little bit. They conducted a telegraph meeting, so to speak. The matches spanned several months, and culminated in McCarthy, or otherwise the computer, losing two matches and drawing two matches. That's a big deal, because in two of those matches, the human chess expert could not beat the computer. Why is that important? Why are we playing games with these million-dollar computers? Because games are a symbol of intelligence, a symbol of thinking out of the box. If you graduate from, let's say, tic-tac-toe to checkers, and then you advance to chess, probably one of the most thought-provoking and sort of intellectual games that exists on the planet, played by Russians and Americans in almost every country of the world, it kind of gives you an idea that the computer is doing more than just computing. It's computing on a higher level. And so thank you, John McCarthy from the 60s, for thinking out of the box and leading to today, where stuff that maybe he spent millions and millions of dollars and millions of processors, et cetera, supercomputers were millions of dollars. Most of that we can fit on our watch now. But the point is that this guy just somehow thought of this. And it gives us an idea where computers stand in comparison to human beings. Because it is a complicated game, it's a game of thought and wit and strategy and thinking out of the box. Sometimes all the moves aren't on paper. They're not all remembered by the computer but it has to calculate so many moves out in advance, and it's just a symbol of the closeness to intelligence that computers are becoming. Now, one other thing I want to talk about, which is very interesting, and also in the 1960s, and we were taught this in electronic school, in the military. This gentleman named Moore, Mr. Moore, predicted out of nothing really to base it on, predicted the doubling of computer speed or the transistor components that you could fit on one device. That basically he said it would double every month. I'll read it here in a moment, but he was so precisely close and right on that you can still factor up all the way to 2010. I've got, you can Google it. I show graphs that show his law, Moore's law, still holds to this day in the 2010s from the 1960s. From Wikipedia, Moore's law is an observation that number of transistors in an integrated circuit doubles about every 2 years. 2 years, that was my bad. Moore's law is an observation and projection of historical trend. It's not a law of physics. It's no real law. It came out of his head. And the observation is named after Gordon Moore, the co-founder of Fairchild Semiconductor and Intel, and former CEO of the latter. So these people, like Albert Einstein, they're doing their own thought experiments with their own real data, and they come to these conclusions, and here we are a long time later. And we're still about on that same track of doubling what we can fit into one chip every 2 years, which it looks linear because I believe it's algorithmic, so it's really a line, but it's a pretty astonishing line. So what happened is that really shows us that really in the 60s we started with AI, artificial intelligence. But now because of the Moore's law, because things double every so often, we're in a situation now where we can start to increase the amount of data, increase the amount of chips and the quote-unquote intelligence that we can put in a computer. So our server for a website might be the same power as what they were using in the 60s, so we can just do that so much faster. So I think it's as much about speed as these computers grow intelligent and we continue to develop things that are intelligent for the computers. And then we go up to 1997, which is around the time when I wrote an article called Kasparov versus Deep Blue. You know, what are the implications? There's a documentary called Game Over, Kasparov and the Machine. This is where chess champion, this time that's important, chess champion Garry Kasparov played an IBM supercomputer, which is now on our watch, in six game chess matches between Garry Kasparov and IBM computer called Deep Blue. Deep Blue won these rounds. So now we've got computers from the 60s. So in 30 years, we've got computers that can beat our chess champions. And that's a big deal. It's, again, due to speed, due to the intelligence that are being built into these computers, et cetera. So let's see here. We've got 21 minutes left. So that's an introduction to artificial intelligence. It's not new like they're telling you in the news media. But it's relatively new from 30 years ago. So this revolution in computer science and the revolution in what we can do is in from 30 years, from the 60s till now. Again, things double every year. So from 30 years, now we're looking at probably the last five where people started really looking at artificial intelligence or AI as like a legitimate possible use for businesses. And because, again, the price of a $1 million supercomputer from 10 years ago is now in our kitchens and our bedrooms and our televisions. So that has a lot to do with it. So then we get this whole fear of this thing is that are they going to become more intelligent and take over? And it's like I to be honest with you, the miracle of life and the miracle of this planet and the miracle that we live every day that we don't even look at sometimes, you got to stop and smell them roses. They smell good. Stop and smell the roses and look around you. And I realized this very just within the past month when I started talking about terabytes with friends and family. And I was like, man, where have I been for five, six, seven years? Terabyte was like, well, the whole internet is in a terabyte of storage in a Google server somewhere. Now we're talking 2, 3, 20 and more terabytes. But to put it into perspective, I think a lot of you can remember when we talked about megabytes. So to take the math out of it, that's a million times what it was not even 10 years ago. A million times. From a megabyte to a gigabyte, a gig is 1,000 megs. A tera, 1,000 of those. So it's a million megabytes we're talking about storage now. And like I said, a lot of us, including myself, can remember when megabytes was like, oh, wow, I'll never need a gigabyte. And quite frankly, if I'm just doing Word documents, I won't ever need a gigabyte. But the point, I mean, unless you're filling it up with videos, gigabytes is usually plenty, and terabytes is where we're at. So, and that was just from a couple of game players, so I know who were telling me, like, nah, these games, you're going to need terabytes to even play a game anymore. I said, oh, wow. I was just, it boggled my mind. And then at the same time I'm having that discussion, I'm talking to the other AI guy, Gary Krager, and we actually started implementing AI into the chat forums. We use an API that is specific to our country, or our websites, and our chat AIs, which are amazing. Now, let me tell you the difference. So the difference is like, as an example, so you used to go and you used to look up the business on Google, and you look it up in Google Maps, Google Business, whatever you want to call it, and you would look it up, and you would scroll through, and you would see the hours, and you're like, okay, let's see, I'm going to go on Wednesday, hours on Wednesday, 3, okay, I'm going to plan on going at 2 p.m. Well, nowadays, people don't plan a lot of stuff anymore. It could be in your car, and now what you do is you say, let's say it's noon, what time does my favorite company close today? Oh, your company closes at 8 p.m. today. Does that sound like a big deal to a lot of you? It shouldn't, but it is. The reality is just that. So, for instance, so the AI would go through the calendar, and what time are you open tomorrow? It says, okay, the AI says, okay, tomorrow is this date. Opening time is 10 a.m. So it replies very grammatically. The time the company opens tomorrow is 10 a.m. All right, sounds like a big deal, right? But that process, which would have taken you to go to the maps page, scroll down, sometimes click and say, I want to go on Wednesday. You just said, hey, what time does Gary's Pizza open tomorrow? Oh, Gary's Pizza. And it might reply, in which city? Oh, sorry, yeah, Kansas City. Okay, Kansas City. Gary's Pizza is open tomorrow at 10 a.m. in Kansas City. Would you like to know the specials? Yeah, I guess I do. Okay, very well. Special one is this, special two is that, and they also have some new specials. You can refer to the menu if you like, or I can read them to you aloud right now. It's the suave kind of it's a more of an actual, quote-unquote, intelligent discussion to have. Now, when we look at software and we look at automation and we look at robots, I programmed a robot like 30 years ago. It was one of the first ones I'd ever seen. And we call it a robot. It was really what they call a pick and place. But it was very cool because it knew what component was in what row. It knew to go grab one of those and stick it on this. X, Y locations, Z being pressure. That was it. Now, it looks more complicated, and most people could look at that code and say, oh, heck, I know what that's doing. That's X, Y, Z, boom, boom, pressure. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But now with artificial intelligence, you can say things like, I would like component G1 placed at position C3, and also the pressure would be XYZ. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but a computer for the longest time until now couldn't really comprehend and break down the grammatics of it and the linguistics and say, okay, that's this one that goes over here and it's going to be put down there. It's kind of like drag and drop programming. You know, we can build a program. I mean, you know, again, look at our games. If we measure computers and software and coding using games, you're going to look at some of the more complicated games. Not only will they require almost a full gig to run the thing, there's a lot more audio interaction. They can listen to things, which, as you know, can be used by good or bad people. But here's the point. It's automation. It's not just, well, what's artificial intelligence? But the AI, I think, is the new game in software. So now if you have a website that was built 5 years ago and you've got a chat on Facebook, you can do so many really cool things with just a chat API. And my one example was, what time does Gary speak to close tomorrow? Okay, here's the time. And it reads it back, and it's perfectly grammatically correct. And whatever language you choose, we'll talk about languages later, but basically, with older software before, let's call it 2024, before 2024, it was mostly all text and driven, and there was a lot of typing, and everybody hates spell check, even though sometimes it'll save your butt, but sometimes it'll ruin your life. So if it's not handled properly, and just like anything, if you write a code, you've probably seen programs at work where it's like, why is the search up there and I got to scroll down the search? Really simple user interface things are no longer a factor when everything becomes audio. And I think we're there, I think. So checking a menu, tell me what low-carb menu is. Tell me about your keto recipe. What dishes do you have that are keto-friendly? These are kind of things that the chat AI is going to be able to answer, which also for small businesses, as you all know, the owner is called the owner-operator because the owner-operator is also the marketing guy, and also he or she is also replying to messages. We went through some of our customers' Facebook messages with insider access, and we saw a HVAC company out near Syracuse, New York, upstate New York, that had missed 22 leads on his messenger. And as an owner-operator, 22 new eyeballs, 22 people to talk to is not to be scoffed at. If you sell systems that can run $20,000, $30,000, $100,000 in big businesses with the HVAC units and the service they'll require over the next 10 years, you don't want to miss one customer. This individual, again, out near Syracuse, New York, had lost about, I'm thinking it's off the top of my head, it was 22 questions about HVAC that could have been answered by an AI bot. Some of you have heard the word chat API. Well, this is GPT. Sorry, that's one of the main ones you might have heard is chat GPT. They're being driven with artificial intelligence, which means that sometimes even if you haven't answered the question on your FAQ, you know, the AI bot might just recommend solutions on how you might even better find the answer. I asked one of them as an example. I said, how do I get the moisture out of my HVAC unit? And it came back with a full paragraph in perfect grammatical style, and it had numerous ideas for how to remove the moisture, how to, you know, whatever. But and at the very end of it, the business side of things, if you think just from a business perspective, and let's say if HVAC units, usually fairly expensive, but also not purchased more than maybe one or two times, you can't miss one of those. This is ridiculous if you miss one of those. So we have implemented a few AI chats. It works through Facebook. But the cool part is that it also programs itself based upon the questions. It'll program itself on how often do I follow up. So now you've got an extra manager, owner, operator, and an extra salesperson, and it can follow up from Messenger in any possible way you can imagine. It can. So the code will take the answers in Messenger, and it'll send them out, you know, a follow-up via email, a follow-up via text message, a follow-up via a phone call. I don't know. I'm sure you're aware of this. Everyone has got a robot call, and you can almost always tell it's a robot, but it's getting that line is getting grayer and grayer. Let me check the switchboard. We did not get a call. I was afraid I missed Gary on my monologue. So he hasn't called. Hopefully he'll call. If not, we're going to do this at least once a week. Find us on Spotify. Hello to all the Spotify users and listeners. iTunes. Hello to all the iTunes listeners. We're streaming through. Well, I don't know if we're ready to announce this yet. I'm going to wait on that one. But we're always working on more ways to stream the show. Please feel free to call in. You can always call in as a guest. The area code 563-999-3053. Once again, guest call in, 563-999-3053. So when you think about it like the automation world, like the robots we've been using for over 30 years, you think of it like this. It does things more efficiently, things almost perfectly or certainly close to perfect compared to, in this example, hand placing components on a board. The reality is that the computer and the robot will do that 1,000 times in a week, and no human can do that. So it further automates things. This time it's further automating discussions or basic level. You can have this. You can have a chatbot. We have one doing this. And what it does is it does sales qualifications. And it might ask, like, okay, so you're going to be replacing your HVAC unit. Has anyone told you that it is sometimes possible to sell back core components in there and save yourself a ton of money? Answer, I've not been told that, but I will take that into consideration. You can have, so what you can do is you can now use that artificial intelligence as a way to automate discussions. I'm sure you've seen a lot of these, and it's not the ones, so you're saying to yourself right now, you know what, I had that, and the chatbot or the artificial intelligence, it just didn't help me. Well, that's because, remember, even though it's AI, it still functions a lot based on the person who, quote unquote, plugs it in. The nice thing about Facebook as a business owner, as one of our goals for our business owners is to create or further amplify their ability to collect data on this initial point of contact. So here's an example. Somebody calls your business, says, hey, can you replace my HVAC unit, like, I don't know, like they know what they're calling it, you know, just an example. And you say, yeah, sure we can. And a good person on the phone might come out with, not a problem. Now, what are you thinking quality-wise and what's your budget? And it comes down to, really, it comes down to a sort of a tree, a graph, a decision-making tree, which everybody who's written a program or done a business, like a sales pitch or, you kind of follow a decision tree. But like I said, at the same time, if the chatbot doesn't see the decision that you're making, it can sometimes go up and make its own and say, listen, I didn't find, you know, I can't find data on that. I'm still learning more about that. But I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning at 10:15, I'll schedule you for a phone call with one of our, with one of the experts who work on HVAC every day. And will 10 o'clock be okay for you tomorrow morning? Chat back, yes, type or speak. And the AI will make the appointment, send the reminders, even make the final phone call to say, well, we were going to talk at 10. You know, it's 5 till. I haven't gotten it. It'll check the emails. It'll check the company emails. It'll check all the forms of communication, including voicemail, and say, we didn't hear from you on any of our 100 different ways that you can reach us. And then it'll say, but if it's programmed right, it never gives up. It'll say, well, listen, okay, we're 5 minutes. We'll just wait it out. At 10:15, we'll contact you back and try to reset another appointment. But the important thing that you're seeing with this is that this takes less and less human interaction. I know as a human being, we like to talk to real people. But the initial consult and the initial conversation can be used to build a profile of this person. And then having that said, the AI would contact any one of the professionals, whichever one you want. This is called more and more automation. This is automating some of the tasks. A lot of people on Facebook, by the way, Facebook will tell people how long you take to reply with things. You don't want to become that business that doesn't reply for 24 hours or at all. That's leaving money on the table. If you're making so much money that you're leaving it on the table, you know, whatever, that's up to you. But most people don't like to leave any money on the table. If there's money, there's more customers, maybe we can expand. Maybe we're going to do the AI thing, and that's going to be part of our expansion program. More and more AI. It trains. It can be trained. You can train it. It'll train itself. You can select certain data sources to pull from, and it reads them all. And it, like I say, it asks a human question, and then it sounds like a human reply. And it's not because – and also I say to people, well, listen, you know, I personally need artificial intelligence because I don't have the real thing yet. I don't have a real intelligence, so I need an artificial one to get me through the day. But it's not really true. What's really true is that if you're the business owner or a high-level person in the business and you have to reply to every single question, that is not efficient. It's about efficiency, doing business the right way, being afraid to add products, and the product can be added to the AI bot. Don't be afraid to have too much data, because quite frankly, as I said earlier, you can pretty much store the entire internet on a little memory chip, you know, a USB thumb drive, and be done with your day. So we're going to talk more when I have Gary on. Again, this is the AI guys, Rob Thrasher, that's me, Gary Krieger. We've been at the front end of the internet for over 30 years, and it goes back to 1996, 23, whatever, well, close to 30 years. And we just keep making better things, and usually we're just making better things for our existing customers. But this is something where we really think we can expand rapidly. It is here. It's here to stay. Why not be the first one using it when it's only a few hundred dollars a month? That's our philosophy. Is it's crazy not to be one of the first ones using this right now. You'll be at the front of your field. You'll be at the front of the technology wheel that's going around and around. You'll be more efficient. And we're all about making more money. We also have a whole series of social media tools that take, say, your president does a synopsis of what's happening with the company every Friday. You could literally take all that data and include it in your AI data, and it's more and more efficient. It's more and more efficient. And honestly, we're not trying to put people out of work. It's never going to happen. It hasn't with the robotic field. You buy a robot, you need three people to manage it, but it could potentially take the place of 50 people. So, but then what we do is retrain those people. Always keep good people. And if it requires retraining, then that's what you do. So you retrain them on doing something else that maybe you didn't have time to do before, but is a very critical business function. It's efficiency. It's all about efficiency. With that, we're down to 15 seconds. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll see if we can get Gary on the show, the other AI guy. Once again, Google us, theaiguys.com, or Rob Thrasher, just like the Skateboard Magazine, and Gary Krieger. Adios.